Tonight, we're going to be looking in Genesis 25, verses 1 through 20. We got some cleanup work to do from what I was saying last week, because I kind of gave the impression that, I suggested that Abraham may have died while Isaac was getting a wife, and that this may have gone, this account where tonight we're going to see Abraham is going to be, the account of his death is recorded, and that may have happened, and it may be a little bit out of order. And then I read chapter 25, and I'm not sure if any of you are thinking what I'm thinking or figured out this week or were thinking it last week. I hope you're not, so that I can give you insight, and I hope you're all not sitting there thinking, well, that's what we all were thinking last week when I was, because the information is right behind me on the chart. It's if you look right here and you do the time, I'm going to show you where it's at. Abraham is going to die right about here at 175. It's going to be Isaac is still a young man. He's going to marry at the age of 40. They're going to wait 20 years before Jacob and Esau are born. So Isaac will be 60 when Jacob is born. So Isaac is, right here. Sarah dies, Isaac marries, Abraham dies, and it's all up here. And in fact, Jacob was 15 years old when Abraham dies, according to the verses in the Bible. And so my whole wandering around, who knows, last week was, we do know. I do want you to open up to, I'm going to show you a few things. I open up to Genesis chapter 11, and we're just finishing in chapter 11, the table of nations, giving a listing there, and we're going to talk about how Moses put this together, and you know this, but it comes up in chapter 25, so I want to show you kind of where we're at. But in the middle of chapter 11, after talking about the Tower of Babel, in verse 10 of chapter 11, it says, "This is the account of Shem." And that means, that is the phrase or the word toledot. It means the written account, the inscribed. It means something, it has to do with even bark being taken off a tree and something inscribed in bark. So it's a good thing here in the NIV, it says this is the account, or it can be this is the written account. And so that goes from Shem up to Abraham. And then turn to verse 27 of chapter 11. After we get Shem's account, we now move into Terah's account, or the toledot of Terah in verse 27. And that comes up and talks about Terah, and that's when Abram is 70 years old and sets out and goes to Haran. And then chapter 12, he's there for 5 years, and then he moves on and goes to the promised land. And he goes all the way through. We'll review these chapters a little bit, and continues the account of Abraham and all the things he did. And now we come up to chapter 25, and in the middle of chapter 25, we're not there yet, but after reading chapter 25, verse 1 through 11, in verse 12 of chapter 25, where we're going to look at tonight, it says, "This is the account," or "This is the toledot of Abraham's son Ishmael." So between chapter 11 up until here, it's been, in a sense, the written account of Abraham and his journey, and now he dies. And so right in here is a good place to insert another account or another written document, which is the account of Ishmael and his descendants. Not a lot of stories, just who is who's who in Ishmael's line. So if Moses is writing this, which Jesus referred to that, we think he did. And I said before, he's not just making this up or writing this down. He's using documents, and he's finished the account or the toledot from Abraham's life that began with the account of Terah. And now he's working off in chapter 25, verse 12, and a written document of Ishmael. And then look in chapter 25, verse 19. This is the account of Abraham's son Isaac. I mean, these documents are actually, in a sense, titled. you know, Moses saying, I'm copying from this document. Now I'm copying from this document. And in chapter 25, verse 19, this is the account of Abraham's son Isaac. Now just watch how this begins. And imagine this is a completely new document, a completely new author is writing this. This is the account of Abraham's son Isaac. That's the title. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel the Aramean from Paddan Aram, and the sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered the prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. So that's, we're going to pick that up, you know, next week or in 2 weeks. But you notice right there, it says Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah. And then as we read through, the twins are going to be born. And then if you look, it's, where does it say this? I've got it in my, yeah, look in verse 26. After this, his brother came out and his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. And then right there it says, Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. And so right there with those two verses, he's 60. Isaac is 60 years old when the twins are born. When Isaac is 60 when Jacob is born and Esau. He was 40 when he married Rebekah. And Abraham, how old was Abraham when Isaac was born? Do we know? 100, right? Okay. So Abraham is 100 when Isaac is born. So Isaac is 0. Now he's 40, which means Abraham is 140. So Abraham is 140 years old when Isaac marries Rebekah. And so he's not a teenager, but he's not a 70, 80-year-old man looking for a wife either. And then add 20 years. Now Abraham is 160 when Jacob is born. And then Abraham's going to die at 175. And so you can see that's all put together on that first page there. I kind of put this together. If you don't mind looking at that, it helped me out because clearly I was confused. And so I went through and I've got Abraham's timeline and it matches. If you want to, you can go to the very back, page 7. On page 7, I've got this chart on top of the timeline that I've put on there. It's just the timeline I'm having you look at is a little bit smaller there. So I put it on the front page so it's a little bit larger to see. But as you look at that, if you go back to Abraham's 175 when he dies, Jacob would have been 15. Isaac would have been 75 when his father died. Take 20 years or 15 years off that. Isaac is 60 years old when Jacob is born. Abraham is 160. Keep going backwards. They were when Rebekah married Isaac. Abraham's 140. Isaac is 40. Now, what's interesting is that is 3 years after Sarah died, because Sarah died at 127 and she was 90 when she gave birth to Isaac. And so you can just figure this all out here, how old she was when she died and how old Isaac was. So I'm looking at it here. Okay, she's 127. Abraham's 137 when Sarah dies. Isaac is 37 when Sarah, his mom, dies. And within 3 years, Abraham's got a wife for Isaac. Now, at the very beginning there, look at the where I've got between Abraham at the top, it says 70A, 75A, 85A, 100. What's interesting there in this timeline, and we're finishing up the life of Abraham, so this is appropriate to do this right here. He's 70, he's 75, he's 85, and then he's 100. So he's called at the age of 70. And you can see I've got it marked there, 70. That's Genesis 11 is Abraham 70. And then at the age of 75, he leaves to go to the promised land. And at 75, he goes to the promised land. And if you read that, I've got that first little gray circle or oval. That's Genesis 12 through 15. Right here, Genesis 12 through 15 take place right here during these years, between 75 and 85. And what takes place there, he goes to the land, he goes to Egypt, and he's 75, and you can figure out how old Sarah is when she goes there with him. She would be 65. He comes back, and Lot leaves. He has to defeat the kings from the east. He meets Melchizedek, and God comes and gives him the covenant promise, and that is between those 10 years, that what takes place between 75 and 85. At 85, that's when the Hagar story occurs. He marries Hagar, and Ishmael is born, and that's going to come up in, there's a genealogy for Ishmael tonight, and that's at 85. Then between 85 and 100, you've got a 15-year period here. And back here, he's already defeated the kings. He's already been to Egypt. This is now Genesis 17 through 20. What did I write? 17 through 20 right here is these years between 85 and 100. And in this case right here, it begins by saying he's 99 years old. It begins in chapter 17 with God saying, in a year from now, you'll have a son, which means that's chapter 17. And then you've got all the events of 18, 19, and 20 taking place then in that 12 months, if that's in a chronological order. And what takes place in chapter 17 through 20 is the covenant of circumcision is given, Isaac's birth is promised, the Lord meets Abram at Mamre, and they have a meal. Sodom and Gomorrah, the angels show up. Lot is rescued. Sodom and Gomorrah is destroyed. And then Abraham tells Abimelech, the Philistine king, that Sarah's, or she goes off with Abimelech. So Sarah's with Abimelech during that time period right here. And then the next thing you see, chapter Genesis 21, Abraham is 100, and that's when Isaac is born, and then you just march right on through there, Genesis 22 to 20, what we've just been reading, with buying the grave, the trees of Mamre, the Lord appearing at Mamre with him, and then chapter 23, where Sarah dies and he buys the field, and then last chapter, chapter 24, where Rebekah is brought back and meets Isaac in a quick trip up and back. And at that point, Abraham is 140, Isaac is 40. Add 20 years to that. Now Jacob and Esau are born. Abraham's 160, Isaac is 60. And then you're going to have Genesis 25, 26, and Genesis 25 through 7, giving you those dates right there. And then I've got some blanks right in here. I didn't put them on there because we're going to be getting to that. But that's where, after Abraham dies, and Jacob's got to go to Laban. And you can figure out how old Jacob is when he goes to Laban. He's going to be there working for Laban. He marries Leah and Rachel and Bilhah and Zilpha. Then Joseph is born, the 11th of the 12 sons. And then you can count down his years by, you know, how long he's with Potiphar and how long he's in prison and the dreams, the 7 years of famine, the 7 years of plenty. And then Jacob all of a sudden arrives in Egypt. And we know exactly the timeline of all of that in there. So anyway, I was a little mystical, magical, not real sure last week if Abraham's dead or not. Abraham is not dead. He's going to be 15 years old, or Jacob will be 15 years old when his grandfather Abraham dies. And if you look at this, again, this is biblical numbers. Jacob is born when Abraham is, or Jacob is, okay, Jacob is 15 years old when Abraham dies, but guess who could have came to the funeral? Eber and Shem, who was on the ark, if the time, it's like Shem could have been at Abraham's funeral at the burial site. And that's the, and I have no trouble with those biblical numbers. Those are the biblical numbers. And when you line it up, that's, and that's not even project. Some of these dates, you know, we're projecting. We're kind of figuring out where does it fit as far as the act. It doesn't give you the date, but it gives you their year. And when you overlap their years, this is biblical. Shem was alive when, Shem died probably when, if Jacob's 15 or Abraham dies, Jacob might have been up at Laban's when Shem finally passes away after he got off the ark. So that's some interesting things there. And that kind of helped me put things in perspective. So anyway, that's the background for where we're at. I'm going to read in the NIV the material we have tonight. Oh boy, I'm going to read through it. I got, like I told you, Sunday, I had a someone made a comment, and it's a fair, like I said on Sunday, it's a fair comment on YouTube because I was reading the names and the places in Luke chapter 3 and I wasn't pronouncing all the words right. And I was just going through the information and someone comes on and says, you know, you can't pronounce these things, how can we take you serious? And I went back and practiced saying those words, looked them up online and stuff. Well, here comes, we got a list of genealogies. And I thought, well, you know, here's a good chance for me to look up some words and pronounce them correctly. It's like, no, I'm not going to look up all these pronunciations. I mean, I could and I should, but it's like, so good luck. Good luck. Here we go. Chapter 25. Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah. She bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Six sons were born. So now at this point, Abram's got how many sons? He's got Ishmael, Isaac, and these six right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So he's got 8 sons. Now it gives you, again, gives you the details. Jokshan was the father of Sheba and Dedan. Now those would be Abraham's grandsons. They would be like Esau and Jacob. But they're not. The descendants of Dedan were Asherites, the Letushites, and the Leumites. Now, that Asherites, most people think that's where the Assyrians come from, and we'll see how this progresses a little bit. But these are all legitimate names, not just in the Bible, but you see them popping up in inscriptions and monuments and lists from the ancient world. So now you're getting Abram's sons through Keturah, his grandsons, and then his grandson Dedan had 3 sons, and those would be Abraham's great-grandsons. And they are legitimate people or legitimate peoples that became tribes or nations. Some of them pop back up in the Bible, like in Ezekiel or Jeremiah. They're being prophesied to. Sometimes even in Genesis or in the book of Judges, they invade. And well, here's one right here. The sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abida, and Eldea. That'd be Elda or Eldeha. I'll say Eldeha. All these were descendants of Keturah. And now you can see the word Midian in there, and that's the Midianites. And you remember stories, you know, from the book of Judges. And so they're becoming a people. Abraham, now those are all of his sons. Now remember, he did not want Isaac to marry someone in from the Hittites or the Canaanites in the area. Because, as we know, the promise was Abraham's descendants will go to Egypt. They'll be there for 4 generations. And then after 400 years or 4 generations, they're going to come back and drive all these Hittites off the land because it's Abraham's land. The problem is if Isaac marries one of their daughters, now they're half his Abraham's grandchildren would be half Canaanite or half Hittite, half, you know, descendants of his. And when they come back to drive the descendants off, or the Hittites off the land, they're just replacing the Hittites with more Hittites that are descendants of Abraham. And so this becomes a problem. You see, these sons through Keturah can become a problem. And so Abraham, verse 5, left everything he owned to Isaac. Everything. Isaac is the promised child. And if you can see, when Rebekah comes back, and Isaac has tremendous amounts of wealth. But while he was still living, he gave gifts to his sons of his concubines and sent them away from his son Isaac. Now you see, Keturah in verse 1 is called wife, and Hagar was called wife or concubine. Here it says gave gifts to his concubines, plural. Now we know Keturah would be considered a wife, now considered a concubine. Hagar is wife slash concubine. That would make it plural. Are there other concubines? Are there other women involved in this? I'm not going to read into it. I'm going to say that gifts to his sons of his concubines, that would be Ishmael and these six sons of Keturah, gave gifts to his concubines, and watch this, and sent them away from his son Isaac to the land of the east. And that exactly what that means. It means sent them away to the east. He's sending them one away from Isaac, and he's sending them away from the land of promise, because otherwise they'll start multiplying there in the land. And when his descendants from Isaac and Jacob return, they're going to be driving off Abraham's descendants from the land. So when it comes time to drive the Canaanites out, none of them are descendants of Abraham. So part of that sending them to the east is to get them away from Isaac, so he's got the promised land and his territory and his property and his gifts and his inheritance, but also that they don't multiply and fill the land and end up have to go to war with the descendants of Isaac. So to protect Isaac and to protect themselves from Isaac's descendants when they return. Altogether, Abraham lived 175 years. There you can do the math with that number. Then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age, an old man full of years, and he was gathered to his people. His sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him. Now, before we get back to Isaac and Ishmael, I've got it in the notes here written out so you can see it. It's not like amazing. Boy, where am I at in the notes here? Oh, yeah. I'm all the way over to page 4. We're going to look at some of the notes here. But it's worth noting here that for this Abraham's death is recorded in four steps. And it may give you insight. Remember, Moses is doing a lot of work in a little bit of room in the book of Genesis. We're covering a lot of territory. So to be redundant is not necessarily a goal. He says, breathe his last. So he breathes his last, and then he dies. So he is now dead. And then the next thing was gathered to his people. And then the next verse says Ishmael and Isaac buried him. He is buried. And this is interesting here, this gathered to his people, or his bones were gathered to his father's, or his bones were gathered to his father's bones. When I was in Israel a couple times and going through some classes, and we looked at tombs, and in the Old Testament, they would have, like we talked about this before, they'd have the burial bench. In the New Testament, they'd gather the bones about a year later and put them in an ossuary, a box. But in the Old Testament, they'd have a family burial ground, or burial plot, burial cave, or they'd have the bench carved out, and then underneath it, they'd have a receiving area, like an open box, where they could take the bones and just put them in with the bones of their ancestors. So underneath the burial bench would just be the collection of bones through the years of all the people. And I was told that that's what it would mean or could mean. It says they're gathered to their people. Their bones were gathered and put with their ancestors. The problem with that is that's the same thing it's saying right there. He is buried. The other problem with that is, we're going to find out as we read on, he's going to be buried at the cave of Machpelah in Hebron, where the double cave or the double tomb that he bought, where he buried Sarah. So you understand, you can see where Jacob's going to come back from Egypt and to be buried with Isaac and Abraham and Sarah and those that are in the tomb, the cave of Machpelah. But Abraham, there's no one there but Sarah. So he's not being gathered to his people. He's going to be buried with Sarah. So this phrase right here, as it's written in the context and as it's in this list and the context, this is he's breathing his last, his physical life is gone, he dies, and upon death, this would be the, I'm telling you, this is my understanding, my interpretation, what I'm trying to point out. This is the immaterial, the soul, being gathered to his ancestors. This is him going to Sheol. And Jesus referred to that, Abraham's side, Abraham's bosom. He went to Abraham's side, and Abraham was in Sheol. This was the place in the underworld, not the place of torment, but the place of waiting that was emptied out when Jesus was resurrected, when captivity was led captive. They were captive in death, but Jesus took captive the captivity and brought him into the presence of God or into heaven. But anyway, this is him being gathered to his people, his soul going to be where his ancestors are, and then this is the physical burial. So these are not, this is not redundant. This is, again, and you can make it redundant. You say, yes, this is just him being put into a tomb, and this is saying the same thing. But it's kind of interesting the way that's broken down. And I've got that kind of highlighted there on the page. I'm going to continue reading this, and then we'll go back and look at some of the maps on there. Verse 7, although altogether Abraham lived 175 years, then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age, an old man and full of years. And he was gathered to his people. His sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah near Mamre in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite. The field Abraham bought, and he owns, this is the only piece of property he owns, from the Hittites. There Abraham was buried with his wife Sarah. After Abraham's death, God blessed his son Isaac, who then lived near Beer Lahai Roy. And on that map on page 4, you can see the Dead Sea. You can, hopefully you can be familiar with that. And there's Hebron. There's the cave of Machpelah, the double cave or the double grave. And Beer Lahai Roy is down there to the bottom left. That's where Rebekah goes to. Remember Rebekah? That's where Isaac was living at Beer Lahai Roy. That's in the Negev. That's in the wilderness. Beersheba is up closer to Hebron, a few miles away from Hebron. That's where Abraham lived, but Isaac is down further in the wilderness. It's the same place where Hagar, when Hagar left and the angel Lord met her, she was on her way to Egypt going through Beer Lahai Roy. But that's where that's where Isaac is going to be making his life. That's where he's going to be apparently raising his children there. Beer Lahai. Now, let's see. I want to look at this chart here. Let's go back to the notes. Page 1, page 2. Here is the chart on page 2. These are the sons of Keturah, Abraham and Keturah. You can see them across the top, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And two of them are listed. Their sons are listed. Jokshan has Sheba and Dedan, and then his sons are listed. So Abraham's great-grandsons are listed for one of his sons through Keturah. Some information about this. Zimram became an Arabian tribe west of Mecca on the Red Sea, or based on Jeremiah, he could be in today's western Iran. There's two different places that that group could have gone. In Jeremiah 25:25, it mentions all the kings of Zimri, and that's in verse 25 there, all the kings of Zimri. This is a list of, if you notice, this is Jeremiah being told to take the cup of God's wrath and make all the nations drink from it. It just goes through and tells you all the nations. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and all the kings of Uz, and Gaza, and Ekron, the Philistines, Moab, Edom, and then down it goes on, Dedan, Tema, Buz, and then in verse 25, all the kings of Zimri, Elam, Media, and all the kings of the north. So that's all the area that Nebuchadnezzar is going to conquer. So Zimri pops up there again. Jokshan is mentioned in Genesis 10. If it's the same guy or if it's different, he's also the father of Sheba in Genesis 10. but that's more of a direct line from Shem himself. Jokshan's son, Sheba, and Dedan, the great-grandsons of Abraham, are mentioned in all three prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, Sheba and Dedan. Medan is unknown. Median is well-known and well-documented. It's located east of the Gulf of Aqaba. And you can see I've got a map there at the bottom of page 3, the names of the sons and kind of the area they went to. They moved into Moab and Edom. Genesis 36 and Numbers 22 talk about them being up in the land of Edom and in the land of Moab as they came back up in. They're involved in the account with Balaam and calling on Balak to come down and curse them. Or Balak calling on Balaam. Gideon faces them in Judges 6 through 8. And interesting, Joseph, the traitors that draw Joseph up out of the pit when his brothers put him in a pit, they're the Midianites. That's these people. And then later in the story, apparently the Midianites sell him to the Midianites, who then sell him to Potiphar. So those two, both C and D, Medan and Midian. Midian buys Joe, takes him out of the pit. They sell him to the Midianites, who sell him to Potiphar. So they're involved as Joseph makes his way down to Egypt for his time there. We're going to page 4, page 5. Now on page 5, I've got this. We'll read the rest of this in the English Standard just off this note. This, again, is just basically the genealogy. And it begins, these are the generations of Ishmael. If you look in the NIV, this is the account of Abraham's son, Ishmael. In the Hebrew, the word is the Toledot. So this is now a new book. We just finished that book. Now we're in the new book. These are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, who Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's servant, bore to Abram. And here's the list. These are the names of the sons of Ishmael. So Ishmael's Abraham's son. These are the sons Ishmael had, named in the order of their birth. Nebaioth, Nebaioth, the firstborn of Ishmael, and Kedar, Edbeel, Mibsham, Mishma, Duma, Masa or Mesa, see I'll say it two or three ways, Hadad, Tema, Jetur, Nephish, and Kedema. There's three pronunciations. And that's listed on that chart right there. You can see the diagram that's of the genealogy, Abraham and his three wives, Hagar, Sarah, and Keturah. We just did Keturah. See the six. I circled all the there's a lot of names, so I circled the sons. The sons of Keturah, they're circled. The sons of Sarah, or son of Sarah, Isaac is circled. And the son of Hagar, Ishmael, is circled. So Ishmael's son, there you've got, notice, 12 sons going down that line right there. With the last one, she's not listed here, but we find out that Esau, to despise his parents, marries Ishmael's daughter, Basemath. If it's Basemath or Basemath. And so there's a daughter of Ishmael that's not listed here, but does appear later in Genesis. So there are your 12 tribes of Ishmael. Then, of course, I put under Jacob the 12 tribes of Jacob, or 12 tribes of Israel. Chapter 25, verse 16, it says, these are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their villages and by their encampments, 12 princes according to their tribes. So they became princes or kings of their own tribes. Then verse 25, 17, these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137. He breathed his last and died, and was gathered to his people. So there again, he himself is gathered. If we go with the idea that his soul's being gathered to Sheol with his ancestors, it gives the impression there, if you read it in a positive note, that he was a believer, that he was gathered to his people. He was gathered with Abraham. Ishmael outlived his father by 48 years, if you add Genesis 16:16, Genesis 25:17. And Ishmael lived 8 years after his half-brother's marriage to Rebekah, and then he died. So Ishmael marries Rebekah, and then 8 years later, that's when Ishmael's going to die. Again, breathed his last, died, and then his soul was gathered to his people. I've got to believe, after years of thinking about it and having different opinions, I'm pretty convinced that's what that means. He was gathered to his people, gathered to his ancestors, independent of how or where he was buried. 25:18 talks about the sons of Ishmael. They settled from Havilah to Shur, which is opposite Egypt in the direction of Assyria. He settled over against all his kinsmen. And if you turn the page, there you're going to see a map, a general map of that area. This is where those 12 sons of Ishmael went, from Shur, that's down towards Egypt, then all the way across the Arabian Peninsula over to Havilah, or over towards where we'd say the Persian Gulf is at, and probably leads up into Assyria. And it said, what's interesting, point one on page six there, it says the names of Ishmael's sons up here, what we just read, that list of 12 sons, they're not just Bible names. They appear in Assyrian inscriptions. They appear in North Arabian inscriptions. They are lists of places that the king Ashurbanipal, the king of Assyria, conquered these places in his list. Sennacherib lists some of these places that he conquered. They're spoken of by Tiglath-Pileser III, a king of Assyria, and they are written on a stele of the Babylonian king Nabonidus. So Nebuchadnezzar's father, Nabonidus, records their names. So it says, these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son, Abraham fathers Isaac. And now chapter 25:19, that begins the next account of the story of what we'd say Isaac and his children, or the account of Jacob and his family that's coming. And that's where I get the information. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to be his wife. Then the bottom of page 6, Isaac was 60 years old when she bore Esau and Jacob. And that leads us to that timeline that you see on the back page 7 that we tied together at the beginning. And we've got some events now coming up with Jacob. You can see on that diagram, the chart here, or on your page, you're going to have Jacob and Esau being born, and then Jacob's going to flee to Laban. He's going to marry Leah, and all those dates. And we're getting right around 1900 BC. Jacob's going to go to Laban around 1929 BC. Joseph is going to be sold around 1898 BC. And if this is correct, then Isaac is going to die about 1886 BC. Again, these dates, or these ages, are correct. If I've overlaid them correctly with the dates of history, That's to be debated. Many people want to move it further back. Some want to move it further forward. This seems matched. But what's interesting is now these kings, these pharaohs that are mentioned here, they're going to be the ones that are interacting with Joseph. And Jacob is going to go down, and Jacob is going to go down and meet the pharaoh. And this will be one of the pharaohs that Jacob meets. And the pharaoh sees Jacob, as you remember, and says, "How old are you?" He goes, "My years have been long and hard, but they're nothing compared to my forefathers who are living 600, 464, and before." But Pharaoh was impressed with that. And so now we're going to start overlapping. It gets exciting now, because now you start getting very direct connections with the kings and the pharaohs. And that is what we've got for tonight for the material we're covering. And next week, we do not have class. The following week, we'll start in chapter 25, verse 19. This is the account of Abraham's son Isaac, and we'll go through there. And we'll go through this, and eventually it's going to get to a place where it says, this is the account of Jacob, and now it's a completely different document talking about Jacob's account with his sons and what they do with Joseph. Are there any questions? I'll pray, and if you got a question or a correction or want to say something, we do have a few moments tonight that we can spare. I do appreciate you being here. Father, we do thank you for the chance for looking at this word. We thank you for preserving it. We thank you for giving us new life through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, that we can process these things and be led by the Spirit in our lives. We ask that we may be obedient, that we may walk in wisdom, and that we may do the things you've called us to, especially at this time in history in our nation where people are turning to God, looking for answers, that we want to be there for them with the truth and with the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We do thank that we can live in hope knowing that our future is secure in Jesus Christ. And we do again thank you for your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.